folks. It's Ted Cantu coming at you with the Online Money Machine Show. And you're listening to U2 with Bono on the vocals. And if you haven't checked out the new U2 in 3D at the IMAX, you should go do that. That is the best $15 you'll ever spend, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen it twice. I've seen it twice. I'm a big sucker for IMAX movies. Good ones, that is. I saw Raging Bull at the IMAX. I also saw Goodfellas at the IMAX. I'm a big Scorsese fan, so anything loud and intense. Let me tell you something about U2, which is amazing. In 85, in my high school, nobody went to see their show in the DC Capitol Center, but I went, and I was the only kid with a t-shirt, a U2 t-shirt and a patch, right? And now, if you talk to everybody in my age group, they're like, oh, yeah, man, I remember seeing U2 back in the early days. Oh, yeah, 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 I was there in 85. No, you weren't. I was there. No one else was there, at least in my high school, for crying out loud. Like, four kids went my whole high school. It's unreal. But now all I ever hear is, oh, yeah, I've been kicking back with U2 since 81. No, for crying out loud. I saw them in 85, and believe me, only four kids in my school went. They broke really big with this rattle and hum business, and but I'll tell you what, they've never been this big before with this new IMAX 3D thing. So go check it out. It's a lot of fun. And you can take a tip from The Who and U2 and some of these other supergroups, and really, it comes down to this. You have to become your own best special effect. That's right. I said that because it's true. So don't be afraid to celebrate your own uniqueness. I am Ted Cantu, ex-art director from the mean streets of advertising from Chicago and New York City. And now I'm back here in Metro Detroit this week doing another show here for you. I'm going to be on the road soon. I'm going to be going to the Dan Kennedy Super Conference over in, actually I'm going to Nashville. Going to hang out down there. And that's going to be awesome. That's coming up in April. I'm also going to be in New York City again, doing some business over there. And I might be flying up to, crikey, where am I going? Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Chicago. Okay, so that's in a nutshell. This episode is going to be called, Who Else Wants to Be, no, that's the wrong, I'm looking at the TV guide, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Almost as good. Who wants to earn more than they're worth? Ladies and gentlemen, I would hope that would be you. And I'm going to talk about the new scams of that I'm not part of, thank God. And, of course, making more than you're worth. John McCain has a new promise for you. He is going to carry through the new Bush policies, or the old Bush policies, or whatever you want to call them. And I know some people are pretty excited about that. Of course, there's going to be more recessions. I was just reading this in the paper the other day. There's going to be a lot more recessions. And so I'm actually jumping up and down for joy. Not because I particularly want to get political or endorse any political parties at this show. Just the fact that people are excited about having more recessions, for crying out loud. And these, if you know anything about the economy, this means that as a springboard for you, there's a lot of chances here to make a lot of money in a very short window of time. So a lot of businesses are made, a lot of industries are created whenever there's a big type of, you know, economic breakdown that we're going to experience. So that's going to be good. So remember, the true nature of recessions and how you can forge your fortune is going to be very, very, very important. And keep in mind that we have a lot of inept leadership in recessions. A lot of recessions do not have, let me back up a bit. A lot of companies do not have profit funnels in place or prospect funnels in place. They simply put up their, sites and they expect to cash in somehow. But building a relationship online is very, very tough. So we're actually going to break these things down for you so you'll actually understand them. And here's some of the mini subjects I'm going to tap into today. Identifying a market that will support you in style. These come to us from the book, The Official Guide the official Get Rich Guide to Information Marketing. Build $1 million business within 12 months from Dan Kennedy, Bill Glazer, and Robert Strobe. And this comes to us from Entrepreneur Press. Now, I'm taking the basic outlines of what they're projecting, like the first six chapters, and I'm going to kind of go off on my own experiences and share this with you, because I've actually taken this advice and actually made money with it, and which is exactly what I want you to do. So identifying a market that will support you in style, the business of selling, and separating your customers from the rest of the market, and the sales process to convert shoppers into buyers. And I'm actually going to go into a little bit about the new scams that are out there, and so, you know, I got a few other insights here for you as well. And a little bit about my business. I am from iMobile Media. That is my company. And I have been on my own doing this for quite a while. I've been through five generations of multimedia. This is not something that I've, you know, I answered the ad on television, or I went to a DeVry Institute, or did a mail order correspondence course in programming, and, you know, it's not like that. I've actually got real industry experience. I've actually worked in five metropolitan markets. Chicago, I was in New York. I've seen the whole, you know, the whole rise of this whole dot-com movement, the whole CD-ROM phenomenon that was so ancient, not so ancient, but 10 years ago. It seems like such a long time ago. And, of course, the post-dot-com years, and, of course, the brand new stuff that's coming out now, which is so amazing. You've got it's not just a search engine game anymore. There's nine families of different types of search engines that you should be plugging your business into. If you have any questions at all during the show, my phone number is 1-888-305-2532, and we'll have plenty of time to go over some of these in great detail. But, you know, it's amazing. So your search engines are only 10% of your overall traffic, so you need to find out where this stuff is coming from and how you can profit from it. So with all that on the table, we're going to jump into the show, and we are going to plow right through this material right here. Okay, so here's the thing now. We've got identifying a market that will support you in style. What exactly is that? And if you're looking at getting rich quick. I know a lot of people have a lot of emotional things about money. Either they get real emotional when it comes to money. It's the weirdest thing. And I think it's because a lot of people have different ideas of money, what it is. And, you know, a lot of religious ideas about money that that create a lot of emotion and personal setbacks, and or they feel they're not deserving enough to have money. And it's the weirdest thing, and I've gone through this. I've really gone through the full spectrum of this whole aspect with a lot of people that I've been close to that just don't get it. All money is an energy. Like the Dead Kennedys, for example. Listen to this. This is Viva Las Vegas. I was just in Vegas, actually. I'm going back there, too. Hello, Fred, all my new partners in Vegas. Anyway, Jello Biafra says it right. But all money is a real energy. And you look at how many people are you actually servicing? How many people are you helping reaching their goals? That's it. You're not doing that, you're not making money. Okay? No reason to bring religion into it. Has nothing to do with making money. Has nothing to do with it. Nothing at all. It's completely different, separate thing. So, and it's pure essence and it's pure form. What are you doing right now as a person, as a company, to help another person or company? What are you doing to actually take your service and put it in front of as many people as possible who are qualified to buy your services? Not just anybody. Now, I'm not talking about spam. I'm not talking about email spamming. I'm not talking about putting up, you know, your stuff on these really junky portals. You know, these news, these link farms. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about actually servicing people. You got to be doing that. If you're not doing that, you know, you're really kind of missing the boat. So I think there's a really great value of getting rich quick. You know, what's the value of getting rich slowly, as Kennedy says, Dan Kennedy? says that. So, and to put really into better perspective, I'm always eyeballing distribution channels, and that's where the money is. Is if you got a distribution channel that's not making money, that's and if you know how to assist that in some way, and we talk about many different subjects in the Online Money Machine show. We talk about copywriting, you know, sales copy. We talk about how to write sales copy for websites so they pop up properly on the search engines. So you're looking at it from a search engine optimization standpoint. How relevant is this stuff working together to assist somebody else? See, as e-commerce sites, most of us will just put pictures of things online with prices, and hopefully someone will buy it. And that's pretty much it. And if that doesn't work, we'll jump on some big elaborate PPC campaign, pay-per-click, you know, and hopefully that'll work. And sometimes that doesn't really work either. So what you have at the end of the day is, you know, hey, look at my stuff. It's number one. You know, I pay for it to be here. Or you can look at it as saying, here's my stuff organically. Look at my stuff and hopefully you like my prices. You haven't built up enough rapport, you haven't built up enough trust, and you really haven't built up a relationship with someone to really want that product enough. And I think that's really where your customers need to be informed about what you're selling before they'll actually make some sort of a purchase, you know, from you. And to get that type of a trust, to get that type of arrangement, you're going to probably need more than five working pages on your site, or 10 working pages. And by all means, you shouldn't be rewriting over the same pages over again. A lot of companies do that. They'll rewrite over the same pages. And we've talked about this on the show, and I'm sure you don't want to hear it again, but you're going to hear it again because it's just important. I mean, you should do that. You know, study what the giants do. Study what the big companies, the big corporations do. They very rarely do they take a big chunk of their website down and put brand new ones up. Because once you've already achieved real estate online and visibility, that's good real estate. You want to keep that open. You don't want to keep reinventing the wheel every 3 weeks. You're not going to make any money. So it's going to be tough. The other option, too, of course, is to get an affiliate program. And that's a whole different dynamic. And we should probably do a whole show just on affiliate programs. And that basically means, for the layman, you know, just taking your basic selling information and having it live on some other site, okay? And that's really all it is. So, and there's different strategies for that. It takes on a whole different life form of its own. Really, really great stuff. And so eyeballing the distribution channels, you want to keep an eye on the flow of money, how it comes in. And I've seen this from the small entrepreneur to the startup to the large companies, the large corporations, who have large amounts of materials, you know, products to sell. Their distribution channel is terrible, and it's not easy for people to order things. You got to fix those if you want to get rich online. You know, it's amazing how much you could probably charge for information depending on what your area of expertise is. You know, it's not unlikely to actually sell what you have, depending what walk of life you're from. For $40,000 for a coaching program is actually pretty normal. Orange Beetle just rolled out one for $40,000, which I was pretty impressed with. That was amazing. And then Dan Kennedy is actually working on stuff like this too for people. He's helping them, you know, prep up their information so it can be sold. And the real question I have for you is, what kind of freedoms are other people looking for? You know, do they want usually they want a few things. And if you're in sales 101, you probably know this. If you're with a MLM group, people want basic freedoms. They want either time, they want more time, or they want more money, or they want to spend more time with their family, right? And there's probably some other ones too. They want to spend more time with their hobbies, or they want to spend more time on personal development, but they can't because they're on this endless treadwheel, and they're trying to stay afloat. You know, they're really trying to stay, you know, working from check to check, paycheck to paycheck. So they're not able to really give their life the attention that it deserves. So those are the personal freedoms that people sometimes sacrifice when they're in business. Now, if you know that and you got a product or service that can help them get their freedom back, that's worth something to somebody. So my question for you is, do you hold the keys to those freedoms? Okay, think about that one. Take your notepad out, jot that down, and that wraps up my section on identifying a market that will support you in style. My next one is the business of selling. Here's something I started doing recently, and hopefully you'll find some value in this. When you're on someone's mailing list, I'm going to ask that you don't delete your emails. I want you to copy and paste them into a Word document, and I want you to sit there and study and look for patterns and find out what people are actually doing. And I want you to check out also the frequency of when they mail you, check in how often, check out the urgency of these messages, and check out the psychology of what they're trying to use. A lot of these people are great at what they do. And, you know, I've got different people out there who send me things. I'm on like several different really good mailing lists. And I get a lot of their sales offers and their sales materials. And these things are pretty interesting if you start studying them, because their ultimate goal is to sell you things. And their offers are really incredible, some of them, and some of them are not so incredible. So you need to study, see what you like, okay? And also, I want you to look into, you should probably pick up a book on why people buy things. We talked about this before. There's a really good book about the Psycho-Cybernetics group, and it's called Psycho-Cybernetics, and it's by, I believe his name is Leonard Maltz. I know Kennedy took over. Jeff Paul wrote a little foreword in the book, the new edition. And it's worth, it's worth picking up. You should check it out. The more expanded version, which is the version in my head, because I've been studying this stuff, and I want to kind of share it with you. I'll give you the 5-minute version of what this is all about. What I'm really saying here is, why do people buy things? You know, there's many different psychological triggers on why people buy things. A lot of them is out of envy. A lot of them is out of, you know, they want to keep up with the Joneses. And a lot of them, you know, they want to be younger. They want to be more fit. They want to fit into a certain type of mode of our classification. You know, they want to be younger, more youthful, more sexier, more affluent, more smarter. The reason why people actually buy things is based on emotion. So anyway, check that out. It's a really good study, Psycho-Cybernetics. But there's a lot of other books out there too. There's a book out there called Triggers, which is actually pretty good. I believe Joe Sugarman wrote that, and it talks about you know, what why people buy things emotionally. I've actually written a list in my coaching course, about 200 different reasons why people actually buy things. And I came up with some pretty wild ones. And it's true. I mean, it's you know, people buy things for security, you know, it's just amazing. If you look at the way these SUVs are being sold today, I'll just tell you one. I'll just shoot straight from the hip. This is pure Cantu, shooting his mouth off as usual. People, since when do people want to eat in their cars? I understand that. Or since when do they want to watch TV in their cars and eat at the same time while playing cards? Really strange stuff. So we're not talking about a car anymore. What you really want is a rolling living room. You want a living room with wheels on it, and you know, It becomes so political and so goofy and so strange. You think you have to have that because you belong in a certain political party, or that's how you see yourself, or that's how your peers, you want to appear to your peers. Really strange. I don't need a rolling living room. You know, I want to get someplace, I just get in the car and I just go. I don't say, well, you know, I really got to watch Oprah in my car, and I need to do that while eating a low-carb sandwich that's been endorsed by Jenny Craig, and then I have to have, I gotta play Uno while I do that. I want those three sensations all in one spot. I don't do that. You know, I don't think like that. put the keys in the car and just go. Better yet, I give the money to someone else and they drive me wherever I want them to go. I like subways and cabs, people. I don't care about autos. But maybe you do. Maybe that's something that you do. But now I'm kind of getting off track. But here's the thing. People buy an emotion. Your job is to find out what those emotions are and to deliver them that experience. Tony Robbins said it best. He says, you want to deliver that experience as eloquently as you can. There's no holes in that plan. They just flow properly, right? And that's what you're looking at doing. So you want to be able to do that and create that experience. Do that as peacefully as possible and make that transition as smooth as possible. Right? So when I talk about sales, I don't want to talk about the textbook definition of what sales is. You know, I don't want to talk about, because some of this stuff gets pretty hokey, and I don't mean to rip on my mentors, but some of the stuff does seem kind of jaded and silly, you know. Some things don't work. And then when you try these things, you wonder why they don't work on people, because they sound so bizarre after a while. You sound like 1985 all over again. I met Tom Hopkins. Tom Hopkins is an amazing guy. He sold a heck of a lot of products in his time. He's world famous. But some of his lines I'm a little uncomfortable with. Although I will say, reading it in print has a different effect on me. I did like his Art of Selling book, the green cover one. I think I've looked at it as the Bible of selling. And I like a lot of his products are amazing. But there's some ways that he approaches it. Zig Ziglar's another one. The way some of they approach some of their stuff, it just makes me feel uncomfortable, you know. You say like scratching your nails on the chalkboard. It's very similar, right? This guy uses phrases like, "Oh, hello, Mr. Customer," or "Hello, Mrs. Customer. Would you like to see this?" You know. I don't call anybody Mr. Customer or Mr. Whatever. I don't do that. I'll talk to them very frankly, like the way I'm talking to you now. Say, look, I got something that works. It's got something that a lot of other companies haven't figured this out yet. See how you like it. Here's some results. I want to show you real quickly how this could benefit, you put them in a story. I mean, go through the whole experience. In other words, I'm very low key when I do it. I always use personal stories of my own personal experience. It adds more weight, adds more volume, and more believability in what I do. I always sell by stories. And people buy from stories. So there's an old phrase that I do like from that period, from the 85 period, that I will tell you that it's as old as dirt, but I like it. And here it is. Maybe you've heard it before. And it's called retailing is retelling. Get that? Retailing is retelling. All you do is retelling why this stuff is good. And then that's this form of retail, a form of sales. People buy from sales, from stories, and they buy from your past previous experiences, and they buy into this sort of thing. You sell them a story. You sell them a product second. It's probably a good one to say, you know. So that one wraps that section up. Another one here I have, separating your customers from the rest of the market. And it's, I'm talking about, what people actually will buy, and if either it's low value or high value. See, because your customers, you want to separate your customers from the rest of the market. I could do this any number of ways. There's some people that will buy only Rolexes. And there's some people who won't even care what watch. Some people don't care a watch at all. Some people want, maybe they want a sports watch. Maybe they're uncomfortable, like this guy last night. I was watching the show about the wipe swap thing on ABC. And they're talking about, you got some people who are pretty low-key. One of the guys is kind of laid back. You can't picture this guy in a suit. It's not his style. He's in the motorcycles. He's not going to buy some of your products from your insurance or from your homeowners. I don't know. This guy didn't strike me as somebody who is necessarily responsible in some aspects. He's more of a freewheeling kind of guy. So you need to know these types of things. I'll tell you what, when I used to work at the WWF, I was always impressed because these guys had, you know, the wrestling group, not the Wildlife Foundation, but the wrestling people, had phone books of notes of their demographics of their customer. They knew their customers inside and out. They knew what they spent their money on. They knew how much money they made, how much they allocated towards recreation, their different types of price points. I was always, any good market analysis company would do this for you. But they really knew their niche people right down to a science. And that's one of the great things about them was they were super huge in this area. And so they were able to separate their customers from the rest of the market, you know. In other words, yeah, they're sports fans to an extent, but they're not really true sports fans. These aren't the same guys that are buying Tiger Woods training videos. They're more into sports entertainment, as it's commonly known. And along that area, when their time is, you know, when they're not watching WWF videos, they're probably watching The Three Stooges. You know what I mean? So that's kind of what it is. And, or, you know, eating Chef Boyardee was another pastime. Those guys did a licensing deal together, too, by the way. When you know what your customers are looking for and how they differ from the rest of the market, you can really start to niche them out and start to specialize. And like that licensing example I just gave you was pretty cool. You can really do some big things with it. And of course, I'm going to jump ahead to the next bullet point, which is the lack of customer service. You know, or do you want to have customer service? Me, personally, as you know, I hate talking on the phone. I hate being on the phone. I'm not really into that sort of thing. Selling on the phone all day is not really my bag. So relationship building is for me, it's always better in print, or it's better in a pre-recorded seminar type thing where I can put it on my computer, on my sites, my pre-recorded messages. That's the stuff I'm really, really into. And always trying to find out who my customers are. And right now it's changing because I was doing a lot of seminars and teaching individuals what I know and working on a student type level. I'm not going to really do so much of that as I did last year, and it was a great training ground for some of my new groundbreaking stuff. But now I'm actually going to be going right to the companies themselves and saying, look, here it is, either you like it or you don't, that's fine, and just start going for the companies, because I'm actually studying different aspects of economics now. I'm looking at different types of prospect funnels, how they get qualified leads, how they get those leads converted into actual sales. And I'm looking into ways to pump up various areas of volume. So that is where my focus is right now when I'm not flying around the country and looking at rock concerts and, you know, everything else. I'm doing this stuff. So it keeps me busy. It's really cool. And I find that there's a lot of companies out there who really haven't gotten their arms around this new technology and how it can benefit them. Pretty amazing. So that's separating your customers from the rest of the market. Now, here's another thing I want you to think about. The sales process and how to convert shoppers into buyers. I got a guy right now. He's got a website. He's taking a lot of visual cues from Europe, and he loves, basically, it is a European company, so I got to be a little fair about it. The problem is that you're dealing with Americans, and Americans aren't on the same page as Europeans in many aspects. And I personally think that you're turning your back on a lot of customers if you present your online information in ways that people can't access you. In other words, let me give you an example. Somebody comes to your site and says, look at this little cute logo here. It's in 3D. When you click on it, or you gotta roll over it, get the secret message, and click on it, and it takes you to the main page. Very dumb. Very dumb thing to do. Don't do that. If you want someone to find your order page, make it well known. Put it right in their faces so they can actually find you. Go through your little obstacle course online and get what you want them to see. You got to put this information in places that people can actually, you know, get into it. So that becomes very important for you, and you need to do that. And say, but that's how they do it in Europe. Well, you know, you're not in Europe. You're in America, and you know, John Smith down the street doesn't know how to work your logo. He doesn't know how to spin the wheels to get to the next page. You got to be very, very intuitive if you want to communicate on that level to a certain individual who has cash in hand, ready to buy your product. And let me tell you, there's a lot of products out there that I want to buy, and their order forms don't work. There's like two products right now I'm looking to buy, and for some reason I can't get past the order page because their stuff isn't hooked up, or they forgot to put, you know. It's really disheartening in a lot of ways. And so, you know, get it together, guys, please. I've already talked about this on many different levels, but this Big Flash intro, or the all-enclosed intro, to it, it has nothing to do with the site. It's just an intro. I'm really against those as well. Just from a search engine standpoint, it's really hard to get these things indexed probably. So that's a really gonna, it's just a hard thing to deal with, you know. And I don't know. that's just me, though. You know, maybe you love this Flash, but only a couple search engines can really see it. The list, I'm sure, is growing, but it has caused problems in the past. So I advise you to be careful with it. What are the new online rules to follow by? Are probably the new online rules are. Let's see, I wrote this bullet point here. I'm thinking what I was trying to think of my point was. Well, I mean, if you want to convert the sales process to you know, make these guys into these random searches into buyers, you want to make sure that this there's material on each of these pages to convert them in some way. You know, some sort of free giveaway. Information. I know a lot of people who don't want to give out information on their sites. Absolutely no information. They don't want to do that. And I think it's a huge mistake for a lot of companies, because the problem is a phone number is not a reason enough to want to have people want to call you. You haven't built up a strong enough rapport or a reason. And the other thing, too, is if you put your information into a book, you can answer common questions like an ebook. That means it's less time on the phone for you. You don't have to worry about it. So put these things in automated, you know, places where people can come and grab them and make up their mind on what they want. It's a good thing to do. And of course, online visual selling triggers. The hokey graphics really seem to work. They're really eye-catching, grabbing type stuff. You know, two for the price of one. Underlining things, circling things in red. Handwritten fonts. It works on paper, and it also works online. And I get guys that'll say, well, who's going to read all this stuff? You know, believe me, if someone's really interested in what you have, and, you know, if it's out there, they're going to want to see it. They will read it. Even if your web pages are, your sales letter 65 pages long, if it's something that people really, really want, they will read it. Keep that in mind. Here's some of the new scams that are out there. You know, when you're dealing with these recession-type environments that we're about to embark in again, I think Michigan's always been on this ongoing recession love affair for whatever reason. There's a lot of things that'll come your way that you got to recognize as a scam, you know. One of them is that someone that wants to hire you for a job emails you out of the blue, but they want you to pay them before there's any kind of money to be had on their part. So be wary of any kind of company that wants to charge you a fee for processing an application for a job. You know, that's like one. This came up a list, by the way. It's going around online. I think this is from entrepreneur.com. But another one here is make $3,000 a day. If anyone had a surefire path to making a five-figure paycheck each week, they probably wouldn't be placing ads on a job site. So don't be fooled by job postings that sound too good to be true. Another one is if the job finds you through the junk mail, you know, some guy wants you to, you know, work for him. but it comes from like a different country, you know, a reputable company is not going to be sending you mass emails to strangers in hopes of finding a perfect candidate. And another one is, if you don't know anything about the job other than work from home, you know, this most likely will fail to deliver the goods. And there's always stuff I get here from this area. People will send me stuff with vacation pictures, tropical paradise pictures, a mansion and a Ferrari is probably a scam type operation, or at least a pyramid MLM type situation. Whoever sent you that information, that's not their stuff. It's just some pictures that they've found somewhere and have hopefully tried to get your money in some way. I think the best thing that you can probably do if you're going to be facing a recession-type situation, or if you find yourself out of a job or you want to make money in some capacity, is to pick up a Wall Street Journal and start looking at what the industries are, you know, what's the market shifts, where's the money moving, how is it being handled, what are the transitions. Are these new companies, are there companies out there who do not know how to communicate online? There's so many different avenues that you could take this to, that you'll never be out of work, literally, if you know how to fulfill these needs. And I think there's a tool on Yahoo where you can actually type in to find out what the top keywords of the week, what the topics that people are looking for. And it's enough to give you a clue of what to do. Okay, so that's basically all the notes I have on this stuff. And, you know, it's not uncommon to sell packages for $40,000 apiece to companies or associations based on what you can do. It's absolutely a viable way to make an income. And I have no problem package selling information to a company if it's going to benefit them in some way and make them profitable. So that's what I have. And our time is almost up. Actually, it is up. It is coming close to 40-minute mark. This has been Ted Cantu with the Online Money Machine Show. I want to thank you for listening. If you have any questions at all, you can always contact us at 1-888-305-2532. I've got a couple new sessions coming out. If anyone wants to take us seriously here and mentor with us, you can by all means give us a call at 1-888-305-2532. I want to thank you for calling for dialing on our show here off iTunes and so many other places that we're located now, and listen to the show. And we'll see you soon. All right. Thanks.